Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 25th, 2019, looking at Exodus chapter 19 and about the first half of Exodus chapter 20. And just a reminder before we dive in, make sure to tune in to tomorrow's special episode featuring Pastor Dave Rosenau. Anyway, Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, after the Israelites had left the land of Egypt, on that same day of the month, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai, they camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you will listen carefully to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my special treasure out of all the nations, although the entire earth is mine. You will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Moses went and summoned the elders of the people, and he set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together, "Everything that the Lord has said, we will do." Moses brought back the people's words to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Look, I will come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear when I speak with you, and then they will always believe you." Moses told the people's words to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothes. Be ready by the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set boundaries for the people all around the mountain. Tell them, be careful that you do not go up onto the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain must certainly be put to death. No one's hand is to touch such a person, but that person is to be stoned to death or shot with arrows. No such animal or person shall be allowed to live. But when the special ram's horn sounds a long blast, the people may come up to the mountain." Moses went down from the mountain to the people. He consecrated the people, and they washed their clothes. He said to the people, "Be ready by the third day. Do not come near a woman." On the third day, when morning came, there was light, thunder and lightning. A thick cloud was over the mountain, and there was a very loud blast of a ram's horn. All the people in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. When the sound of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai at the top of the mountain. The Lord then called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people not to break through to see the Lord. If they do, many of them will fall. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves so that the Lord does not break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, because you warned. Set boundaries around the mountain and treat it as holy." The Lord said to him, "Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not break through to come up to the Lord, so that the Lord will not break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them these things. Chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, where you were slaves. You shall have no other gods beside me. You shall not make any carved image for yourself or a likeness of anything in heaven above or on the earth below in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down to them or be subservient to them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I follow up on the guilt of the fathers with their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, if they also hate me. But I show mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not permit anyone who misuses his name to escape unpunished. Remember the Sabbath day by setting it apart as holy. 6 days you are to serve and do all your regular work, but the seventh day shall be a Sabbath rest to the Lord your God. Do not do any irregular work, neither you, nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your cattle, nor the alien who is residing inside your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. In this way, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may spend many days in the land that the Lord is giving to you. You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. All the people saw and heard the thunder and the lightning, and the sound of the ram's horn and the mountain smoking. The people saw, and they trembled and stood far away. Then they said to Moses, "Speak with us yourself, and we will listen. But do not let God speak with us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come to test you, so that you may always fear him, so that you do not sin." The people stayed at a distance, but Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Here ends our reading for today. So in yesterday's reading, we saw God bring his people through the Red Sea, and he crushed the Egyptians, and he shattered their power, and he destroyed their army by drowning them in that Red Sea. And so God saved his people as they came through the water, and that same water was the water of judgment on the army that pursued them. And so his people are free. And now that God has brought them into the wilderness, into Mount Sinai, and he's now teaching his people to trust him, he continues to build them into a great nation. And the major component of being built into a great nation isn't the size of their army or the size of their nation or the wealth that they carry with them. The major component of their greatness is the fact that they have a God who is their God. And so God lays all this out for them, beginning back in chapter 19, verse 4. He sets the context, and every time that he does this in chapter 19, and he does it again in chapter 20 before he gets to the Ten Commandments. Chapter 19, verse 4, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself," a statement of his grace and his goodness and of how he has been a blessing to them before he gets to any notion of command and of their obedience. And that puts this covenant relationship squarely into a third use of the law arrangement. Perhaps you're familiar with this, perhaps you're not. But we usually, when we talk about God's law, that's what, you know, talked about a command, like do this and do not do that. That's God's law, when it's something that God has said. And so we especially have a good little summary of God's law in Exodus chapter 20. But when we talk about God's law, we talk about three general uses, a curb, a mirror, and a guide, or a rule. So a curb is like a curb on any road, you know. A curb prevents things from going completely off the rails, keeps cars on the road. And so in that function, God's law helps to curb outward human behavior. The reason people, even outside in this world, aren't murdering each other left and right is because God's law, as written in their heart, in the conscience, God's law curbs that behavior. And the laws of a nation typically reflect God's law, at least to some extent. Although when you're dealing with unbelievers, they don't have the clarity of the Word of God. They don't use the clarity of the Word of God. And so that conscience becomes clouded by sin, but the conscience is still there in its first form, curbing outer human behavior, you know, curbing external behavior like that. The second use of the law is probably most familiar, you know, from a sermon where pastor uses God's law to point out a particular sin and to say, this is what we have done. This is what you have done. This is how you have fallen short of God's holy will. And the pastor, of course, says, I have too. But it's that what we call a mirror, where it shows us our sin. God's law shows us our sin. And then the third use of the law is only for believers. And it's only for believers. We call it a guide, or I think the older term was a rule. And this is a guide for thankful Christian living, for somebody who has been convicted of their sin through the law as a mirror and pointed to their Savior through the gospel, then that gospel sets our hearts free to say, wow, how can I thank God for this. How can I thank him today? And that's where we look back at the law for that third use of the law to say, oh, if I want to thank God, I don't have to dream up good works for me to do. All I have to do is look at what God has asked me to do, has commanded me to do. And then where does God's law apply in my specific vocations? So when he says, you know, love one another, or when we get to the Ten Commandments here in the next chapter, we look at these and very specifically say, wow, I can thank God and by worshiping him at church. I can thank God by helping and defending my neighbor in every bodily need. I can serve God by upholding my neighbor's reputation. And that's what God does here with these commandments. He tells his people what he has done for them, and then he puts it squarely into this third use of the law context, where he has done everything for them, and he's not demanding something from them that he hasn't given to them. But he says in chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, "Now, if you will carefully listen to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my special treasure out of all the nations, although the entire earth is mine. You will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation." And so here, God sets up specific conditions to this covenant of Mount Sinai, this contract relationship. If you listen to my voice, if you keep my covenant, then you'll be my special treasure. The cool thing is that the Apostle Peter repeats this in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it is, where he applies this to us individually as Christians, where again, as somebody who has been washed in the blood of Christ, who has been baptized into Christ, and who has been given new life, God says, you've been set free. Now, look at how you can serve your Lord. You are God's holy people, God's holy nation, a people chosen by God. Now go, as you go about your day, ask, how can I serve my God? How can I give God glory for all that he has done for me? You don't have to look far. You've been set free from slavery, and you've been set free to serve your God. So go ahead, review the Ten Commandments and pull out that dusty old catechism and look at those commandments in the proper context. We should fear and love God of all the things that he's done for us. So now God has given us an opportunity to thank him. So I thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I know we have lots of options to listen to, and especially in podcast land, but I really appreciate spending time with us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for our special episode from the Wells Leadership Conference from Chicago. God bless your day.